This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Last week, in part one of our conversation with Fulton County Commission Chairman John Eaves, he defended what he said has been substantial progress in addressing chronic overcrowding at the Fulton County Jail. But those fixes have and will cost a lot of money. That will add pressure to a county budget that already faces additional strain because of a bill Governor Nathan Deal just signed. It imposes a two-year property tax freeze on Fulton County. I began part two of our conversation by asking the chairman if he can make ends meet. Will that mean cuts in other programs, libraries, senior centers? Those are quote-unquote discretionary, and yet they're highly valued by not just the people who use them, but by some of your colleagues on the commission.
So I think there are two things that we have to do. For the mandated services that we have to provide and have to fund, we have to figure out, are we funding them in the most efficient manner? And so that's the first approach to me that we need to do. So is there any trimming that could be done and we can still deliver those services? So that's the first thing. After that, I think there has to be a real cross-the-board analysis or an evaluation, examination, that is, of our discretionary services. We provide discretionary services and constituents benefit and use those services, and they think that they are well needed. And so there's some tough decisions that are going to have to be made, but I think that there has to be at least a two-tiered approach looking at mandated services. Are we as efficient as we can? And if we are, keep those services at those funding levels and then go to the discretionary areas, and those that we can't fund, we just can't fund.
So will there be more money spent on the jail?
I think it's still a little early to say. I think there's a reasonable expectation to maintain the funding levels as close to where they are, but I'm not prepared to say that we will increase the cost or the expense for the jail.
The other area where Fulton County has been criticized for years has been on elections. You have a new elections director who comes from Texas who endured some political storms there and questions about whether he was doing the right job there. Are you, number one, confident in him, although he's just starting, and number two, are you therefore going to have to spend more money on elections, which means on top of the jail, that's less money for anything else?
Well, first of all, this person is battleground tested, and I think he can come in and deal with some of the challenges and the rigors of Fulton County.
We should point out his name is Richard Barron, and he comes from Williamson County, Texas.
Right. So he's in the Austin, Texas area, and he has done a good job. The Board of Registration Elections, a new board, by the way, scrutinized him as well as other candidates and selected him based on his experience and his desire to come here and his vision. I had the fortune of meeting with him on Tuesday of this week, and I think he certainly has the experience. And I articulated to him that my expectation is to have an error-free election for this year as we go into the municipal elections. Everybody deserves that. I think the past problems, a lot of them are due to some of the leadership that we've had in the department. Individual came on board, had some baggage, some of which was known, some of which was not known, but certainly came to fruition during his tenure. So I think that it was partly a leadership issue, and I think the new leader who's coming on board is going to provide the necessary leadership, and he will have the support from me as well as the commission. The resources are there, already budgeted for 2013, so the money is there.
But you got an election in 2014.
Yes, we have an election in 2014, but this is a necessary service that benefits everybody throughout the county. It's a mandated service, and so we will do what we can to support that service.
But you just said you asked for an error-free election. Is an error-free election going to cost more money given the problems that Fulton County has had in the past?
No, it doesn't necessarily mean the cost of more money. I think it's being more strategic. We certainly know what some of the problems are. Some of the problems dealt with the need of training for poll workers. The money's there for that. We had some technical problems, and that's been addressed and resolved. And then I think the other one is putting more emphasis on advanced voting. And so when I met with the new director a few days ago, he stressed to me that we need to look at how we can expand the number of polling sites for advanced elections or early voting. And so
you can do that without spending more money?
It's just a matter of me of reallocating resources or redistributing resources in more efficient and more effective ways. So it can mean instead of having, let's say, 1,000 poll workers working on Election Day, by putting an emphasis on advanced voting, you reassign those individuals on the front end, you know, a third of them, and have a better result. And so I think that it's just a matter of having a different approach with the same resources, but hopefully leading to a more effective and more positive outcome.
So then the overall question becomes this. Given the fact that you have the freeze on your property taxes, and given the fact that you have these expenses from the jail and from elections, among others, are you saying that you would not go to the citizens of the county and say, okay, we're going to raise revenue somewhere, higher fees, for instance, or whatever else you can ask for, even a sales tax, something like that, a special purpose sales tax, anything like that? Are you ruling those out?
No, I'm not ruling that out. I'm not ruling out generating other revenue streams or developing or pursuing other revenue streams. We're not going to raise taxes. We're not going to increase the millage rate. Heck, we haven't done it since 1991, even though now we no longer have the ability if we wanted to. So I think there are a couple things we can do. Number one, we can explore other revenue streams in terms of collecting fees that are already outstanding through the court system, through business licenses, et cetera. But I think, obviously, it's a matter now of how can we further reduce the cost of government and the services that we provide. How can we do it in a more efficient way? I think that the timing is now very appropriate for us to look at outsourcing. You know, so MARTA went through an audit last year or a couple years ago, and there was a resolution in terms of outsourcing as a way to reduce costs. And so Fulton County government will begin to look at how we can outsource some of our services at a reduced cost, but still provide those services to our constituents. So there's a revenue examination or exploration that we will do in terms of generating more revenue, but more importantly, we will be focusing in on the reduction of the cost of government.
But just to be clear, you're saying you'll focus first on more efficient collection of revenue, but you're not ruling out saying let's look at what the fees are, for instance, or let's not rule out a SPLOST.
Well, we will look, we will pursue, but the reality is 76% of our revenue is collected from property and commercial taxes. That's the lion's share. And so whatever ingenuity, creativity that we pursue in terms of revenue collection of fees, it really won't have a major impact on our budget. That doesn't mean that we can't try. We will try. We will explore. But to me, a lot of the focus will be on the expenditure side. How can we still provide the service at a more efficient way?
The Atlanta Public Schools prosecution in the cheating scandal, again, it comes down to money, because in order to prosecute these, it may take quite a bit of money. They'll be closely watched. So I'm sure the DA is going to be very careful here, which, again, might run into money. Are you concerned that the cost of this prosecution and the time that's already been spent on it is too much?
It's a little early to comment on that fully. It will be a concern if it becomes very exorbitant, but I haven't gotten any figures, any projections. It is a mandated service, and we will have to cover the costs, and hopefully the costs are manageable.
You're looking for a new county manager. Cobb County's county manager just took his name out of consideration. It was reported, at least, that he was the leading candidate for that job. But one of the reports was that, again, there were not the votes on the commission to come together on a consensus for a new county manager. Are you concerned that you won't be able to resolve this quickly because, again, of the infighting on the commission?
Well, first of all, it's a personnel matter, and so I don't want to go into the details. We are all united as a commission that we want the best qualified county manager. And so we're going to go through a process. We have an interim manager right now who I think is doing a capable job. We have an interim county attorney who's doing a capable job. We're going to just take our time and make sure that we have the best qualified candidate who we unitedly are behind and will support. And so we haven't gotten there yet. But we will get there.
Can you understand the skepticism of folks who've watched the commission for a long time who say they wonder if it can be done and come up with somebody who can actually do the job, again, because of the dynamics of this commission?
Well, I mean, we will get there, you know. And so for me as an insider, knowing all the details, you know, I mean, the political process is not always a pretty process. As long as we can get to the final outcome, I sometimes say that, you know, we can have 7 county commissioners together, you're going to have 8 opinions. So
you don't think this commission is uniquely broken?
No. I often tell people,
you know, people think that.
That's a perception, but the reality is you have 7 commissioners who are very, very passionate about the county, number one, and very, very passionate about their districts. Their 5 districts, very, very passionate. And I have great respect for them. And at the end of the day, we agree on a lot more than we get credit for. At the end of the day, our bills are paid. At the end of the day, the services are provided. At the end of the day, major institutions that we support, whether it's Grady or the public health clinics or the court system that adjudicates numerous courses every day, at the end of the day, those things happen. At the end of the day, water and North Fulton is provided to the residents. So at the end of the day, things are working.
But the legislature passed new districts for the county commission. The legislature also passed the measure that freezes your property tax ability to increase property taxes if you wanted to. Are you going to go to court on either of those or both?
We feel that at least 2 of the 14 bills that were passed and signed by the governor are subjected to a challenge legally. And the redistricting one is, redistricting bill is one of them. We feel that it is a possible violation of the Voting Rights Act. And then the millage rate restriction, we think that's a violation of the state constitution. And so that one is certainly unprecedented. It's never happened to county government before. And I think the question has to be asked why. And we certainly, as a board, have agreed that we're going to fight that.
So you will be going to court?
Yes.
Any idea when a suit will be filed?
Not yet. We haven't figured out a strategy yet, but we certainly have gotten preliminary opinions that it is a possible, it certainly is an infringement on home rule, and it's a possible violation of the Constitution.
I asked Mayor Reed this question about that. Do you think that party and or race played a role in that bill particularly?
Partisanship, it is the most extreme example of partisanship. Almost every one of those bills was along party lines. And to me, it was an example of bad public policy because the policy that was developed was not based on any sort of data, was not based on any sort of input from citizens, was not based on input from those who are going to be impacted. And in fact, a lot of the legislation has adverse effect on the citizens and a disproportionate amount of impact on the areas where they represent. It's bad public policy, and again, I'm going to restate what I said earlier. We're going to challenge some of those bills.
And as for the question of race, which is a subtext in a lot of the discussions in Fulton County, let's be honest, do you think that played a role?
Hopefully that was not the motivation behind the authors of the legislation. I certainly have had people to come to me, people in the business community, people in North Fulton, South Fulton, the city of Atlanta, who've told me that they think this is about race. I'm not sure. Others have told me that, but hopefully that has not been the motivating factor. But it's clear that partisanship at its worst was displayed during this past legislative session.
In the budget-cutting process that you will inevitably have to go through, are cuts to the county's contribution to Grady off the table?
They're not off the table. Grady Hospital, which is an incredibly important entity in this region as well as within the county, an entity that I have personally championed and supported, it is actually a discretionary expense. It's not mandated. The county, X number of years ago, chose to join up with DeKalb County to support a public hospital. And so this is an example of a discretionary expense that supports everybody, whether you use Grady Hospital or not. It supports the healthcare delivery system, but it is a discretionary expense, and it is not off the table in terms of getting cuts in the next year's budget.
Would cuts to Grady, though, simply increase your expenses in other areas, public health or someplace else? I mean, when you push one area, does another one come up?
Not only that, but it will also have a strain on the healthcare delivery system of this whole region. Grady Hospital trains new doctors. It supports people in the county as well as outside of the county. It will have an adverse impact on other county services, a strain, but it will also put a stress. It will be a stressor on other county jurisdictions and governments.
Grady is also, let's put it bluntly, a valuable political chip in a debate over funding and in a debate over policy. Is this a high-stakes game of poker where you're saying, okay, we might have to cut funding to Grady as a way of getting some of the concessions you want from other places?
Well, I caution the legislators during this legislative session that this will be a casualty of the not only the millage rate cap but the home exemption effort that failed, at least during this session. And they thought that it was a scare tactic. But the reality is we only have but so many resources that are available, especially now with the millage rate restriction. And we have a wide range of services that we provide. Some entities, plural, will be a casualty. And Grady Hospital is a potential casualty in all of this.
John Eaves is the chairman of the Fulton County Commission. Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for giving us this much time and for your patience. We really appreciate it.
Dennis, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.